Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Mark chapter 12. Who's ready for the Word of God?
Yeah.
Mark chapter 12, reading verse 28. It says, "Then one of the scribes," or a religious person, "came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he," being Jesus, "had answered them well," so they were kind of quizzing Jesus, "they asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it," in other words, the second is not inferior to it, it's equal to the other side of the coin, "is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Say after me,
you shall love
your neighbor as yourself. "There is no other commandment greater than these." Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for that? Incredible. So succinct. Grab your seat. Today I want to speak to you on the thought, big and small. Big and small. I'm not talking about your post-Christmas waistline. Big and small. It'll make sense to you as we unpack the Word of God a little bit more. Hello, we've got a full house today. Fantastic. Grab your seats. But I want to talk to you about the thought, big and small. The Christian faith, in many ways, is very simple, isn't it? The gospel is incredibly simple, but just because it's simple, it doesn't mean it's easy. How many of you know that you can be simple, but also be incredibly powerful? And they asked Jesus, they pinned him, they wanted to box him in, to nail his colors to the wall. They said, "Jesus, what is the greatest thing about Christianity? If you could sum it up in a nutshell, what are you about, Jesus? Because we got our Jewish religion, but we want to know what you're about. We want to know about this new kingdom, this gospel that you're preaching everywhere. We want to know, if you could sum it up in a couple of sentences, what would it be?" To which Jesus replied, and I paraphrase, as many have, this very simple phrase of "love God and love people."
Yeah, yeah.
How many of you heard that expression?
Yeah.
Love God and love people. All of Christianity can be summed up in love God and love people. And there was that whole revelation that Jesus gave here in Mark chapter 12 that really created the framework to which the early church was birthed. And when the early church was birthed in the book of Acts, they didn't have the Bible like what we have now. The Bible had yet to be compiled. But what they had was the revelation that as Christians, as believers, everyone ought to stick to a simple game plan of loving God and loving people. And just like two sides of the one coin, you can't have one without the other. It's like Jesus and his church. You can't have one without the other. However, unlike Jesus and his church, how many of you know that when it comes to loving God, loving people, one is easier to do than the other? How many of you know that it's far easier to love God than it is to love people?
Yeah.
Are we getting real now? Not looking at anyone in particular. It's far easier to love God than it is to love people. How many of you know it's far easier to worship God than it is to relate to and connect with people?
Yeah.
And yet Jesus says these are both equal priority. These are both two sides of the similar, same coin of the gospel, that we ought to love God and ought to love people. And even though they are equal in terms of priority, they are really not the same in terms of practical application, because I don't know about you, I've journeyed in my Christian journey a long time, and it is far easier to love God than it is to love people. How many of you know that it's easy for us to just worship and we sing, you're never gonna let me down. We sway and all that stuff, and the band rocks it and builds it. You know what I'm saying? And the worship leader goes, "Let's, we're gonna sing it again. It's gonna be," and we just get into it. But when it comes to people, it's, you're probably gonna let me down. Not looking at anyone in particular in this service, but you know what I'm saying? "You're probably gonna let me down." But Jesus said they're both equal parts of the gospel. And so today I actually want to deal with the loving others part, the loving people part. It's the you and me part of the equation of the gospel. And you know, if God had commanded us to love God and to love people, he wouldn't have asked us or commanded us to do it, firstly, if he didn't think that that was our best intended design. And secondly, if he didn't actually give us the ability to do it, because that would just be cruel. for God to actually command us, to ask us to do it and not give us the ability to do it, that would just be cruel. And if he wouldn't have never asked us to do it had he not thought that that was actually our best place, was actually to love God and to love people. Do I get a resounding amen? And so the root of every issue pertaining to human relationship or lack thereof is the willingness to connect. If God has actually given us the ability to relate to each other, the question isn't ever, can I connect with people? The question is, am I willing to? Don't get quiet on me now, come on. The question always is, am I willing to connect to people? Because clearly God's actually given us the ability to relate. And I don't know whether you've thought about it like this or not, but we are the church. You can never be the church. I can never be the church. Only we can be the church. The reason for that is that church is actually a collective noun. Do you understand what a collective noun is? It's like the word to describe more than one thing. It's like a single goose can never be the flock. No matter how much the goose tells people, I am the flock, you are still just a goose on your own. Yeah. You need more than you to have a flock. Makes sense to you guys? You can never be the church. At best, you can be a believer. You can even be a disciple. But you can never be the church. Neither can I. Only we can be the church. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The word church in the Greek is ekklesia, to which we get the word ecclesia. It means a community or congregation of believers whom God has called out to gather in a public place. And it was God's design, as we can see, of what this picture of the ecclesia looks like, the church in the book of Acts, in that God actually designed the church to gather big, but also gather small. Yeah. Some people like to argue today whether, you know, small churches are better than big churches, or are big churches better than small churches. It is actually a rubbish argument. It's nonsense to kind of get to delve into any of that, because the Bible clearly speaks to the fact that we need to gather big and we need to gather small. Just for the record, I believe that God loves small churches as much as he loves big ones. But God actually has commanded us to gather big and to gather small. It's not one or the other. That's why at Nations Church, we aspire to gather big and to gather small. That's our aspiration, to become the church that God actually birthed in the book of Acts. We want to be like that kind of church where we gather big and we gather small. In the book of Acts chapter 2, if you think about it, the Holy Spirit comes into the upper room, and the disciples that were in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit. There was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in other tongues. They were filled with incredible power. They were emboldened. And from that experience, they went out, and one of the guys in the upper room was a man by the name of Peter. He was one of the disciples. He was so filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is the guy that had denied Jesus 3 times. Fully restored, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what happens in Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Then Peter, now being filled with the Holy Spirit, continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Verse 41, then those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Think about that for a second. In 24 hours, 3,000 new believers were added to the already growing and numerous church that was birthed in Jerusalem. How many of you know that 3,000, that is a pastoral care integration nightmare. Imagine taking 3,000 names down on cards and following people up, right? But this was the early church. And so you can imagine that the church that was first birthed was actually thousands upon thousands strong. No one actually really can settle on a number, but what we do know just from biblical evidence that we were in multiple thousands, potentially 20, 30,000 people strong. If you dislike large churches, you would have disliked being part of the early church. He goes on to say, then all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe or reverence came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Verse 44, and all the believers met together in one place. So you can imagine, they would have packed that city square around the temple area, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Back in the first century, when the church was birthed, if you'd converted to Christianity, you ran the risk of losing all your property, all your belongings, your home, everything, because it was under persecution at the time. Makes sense to you? And so Christians, as soon as people got saved, they immediately shared, and there was this sense of equality, there was a sense of inclusiveness, and they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes, for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And we see here in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that God's design when he birthed the church is that they gathered big and they gathered small. Yeah. They gathered big and they gathered small. Here at Nations Church, we do exactly the same thing. We're gathering big like this. But it's so important for us to also gather in small groups. There's something very powerful about it, and this whole argument of you know is a big church smaller better than a small church? It's like God created this body to exhale and inhale, to breathe in, to breathe out. Which is more important, breathing in or breathing out? Both. If you do one without the other, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
And just like that, God also created the church to breathe in, to breathe out. Yeah. Gather big, gather small. Gather big, gather small. Now we can see why, if we were to follow the original pattern of God, the way God created the church to be, you and I to be, it can actually have no limits to it. A church could be thousands strong. And there are churches like that. The persecuted church is actually thousands strong. No one knows how many there are in the underground church in China. The church could be thousands strong across the internet right now going viral. Come on. The church could be thousands strong gathering in one place. If there is actually no limits to it, if we're to continue to understand that we can gather big and gather small. Gather big, gather small in a healthy, biblical way. It's how God designed it. And if you're here today and you're still not sure about it, my prayer for you is that this message is going to help you get healthy in your mind about it. Maybe you've been burnt by a small church. Maybe you've been burnt by a big church. Maybe you've been burnt by being in a connect group. Maybe you've been burnt relationally. I want to say this to you today. When we go back to God's original intended design, we're going to see that it is a life-giving truth. Here at Nations Church, we just make it modern. In the 21st century, in 2021, we just call it Nations Church Services and Connect Groups. We call it a campus. You're part of a campus. You gather big like this. But we also encourage every single person to also gather small, because at its very core in every single person is a need not just to gather en masse, to worship together corporately the way the Bible instructs us, but to also be in fellowship in a smaller community where people know you and that you know people. God created every single human being to know and to be known. If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2, God creates a perfect world. And he creates Adam, man, perfect. There was nothing wrong or flawed with God's creation. But even within that framework, God looks and says, something's not right about that. And he says, it is not good for man to be alone. This is before sin entered into the world. God already identified that isolation is not sin, but it isn't good. It could lead to some things. Come on.
Yeah.
And so you were created to know and be known. You were actually created. And connect groups are a fantastic way for people to know you and for you to know people. Yeah. Come on, do I get a resounding amen?
Yeah.
Connect groups are a fantastic, small groups, small communities, a fantastic way for you to know people and for people to know you. It actually breaks the curse of isolation.
Yeah.
There's something very powerful, very valuable when people know a part of your life and you know a part of people's lives. About 5 years after we planted our church, so we planted our church in 2004, the church that you're a part of now. 5 years into it, I felt like my life had hit a significant brick wall. You know, we were struggling financially. I had signed up to purchase some property just off the plan, and it looked good on paper, and we committed financially to it, and then the GFC hit, and so we stood to have lost everything really in that season. It compounded a season in our lives where our youngest child Isaiah he was not developing properly. There were some very alarming things that you know we weren't seeing that he was meeting, and our church was only a few hundred people at the time, and I was struggling in my leadership. I was feeling really lonely. There were to be honest with you. There was in the quiet of between you, me, and the internet. There were some nights where I would stay up when after everyone else had gone to sleep, and I would Google and I would search for jobs. I drafted my resignation letter. It was just a really difficult time in my life. I felt very isolated, very lonely. I felt like you know no one knew what was going on in my life, and you know, obviously the story has a really praiseworthy ending, But it was tough times for Chrissy and I. You notice how the atmosphere changed when I just shared a part of my life with you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some of y'all were like all distracted and like thinking about lunch and stuff. But when I shared with you something that was real in my life, you intuitively, your human soul connected with that because you knew that I was giving you something that was really valuable to me.
Yeah.
Because you were created to know and be known, and so was I.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
You were created to not live your life in isolation. And you know, I just know, if you want to say this after me, please repeat after me. God created us to know and be known. And it was in that season when I was feeling really isolated that I began to understand the value of my own connect group. And I was the pastor of the church. My own connect group at the time rallied around me. The elders of the church rallied around me. I had leaders that came and just really just spoke into our lives and encouraged us. And it was in that sense that I genuinely got a revelation. Now I understood at that point. I said to myself, now I understand why God said it is not good for man to be alone. And yet Christians in the 21st century continue to insist to do their Christianity on their own. When God said it is not good for man to be alone. It is not the fact that we can't connect. It's just that we're not willing to be connected. For some of you, you might be saying, oh, well, I already hang out every weekend with my mates from uni or my mates from work. I just want you to understand this, that God doesn't just want you to be in community. He wants you to be in a community of faith.
Come on.
Just hanging out with your old uni mates, drinking beer, talking rubbish, does not constitute a community of faith.
Yeah.
Come on, if the people you do life with don't know how to pray for you, they don't know how to believe with you for breakthrough, they can't speak into your life in a faith manner, they're not on your page spiritually, they don't cause you to grow, you need to get yourself into a biblical design for your life, which is to be in a community of faith. I need a resounding amen.
Amen.
He intended for us to be, you know, it's God designed for us to be part of a large gathering. There's no question about the benefits of that. It expands your thinking. It makes you a bigger person. It grows your capacity, your vision. It helps you to see the world in different ways. It kind of gets us out of that. I only want to be with my little 3-4 friends that look like me, that talk like me, have everything in common with me, is my same skin color and all that. It gets us out of that. Come on, when we're connected to, come on, are you out there? The large community and the diversity of all of that enriches our lives. But he also designed you to be in a small community, a small group where you are known and you do know people, to use your gifts and benefit from the gifts of others. You know, there are things in your life that you will withhold from other people if you're not in small community that could be of such incredible value to somebody else. This is going to be just a revelation for some people here, that God didn't create you for your sake. He actually created you for others' sake.
Yes.
Did you know that? He didn't create you just so you could have a good time on your own. He created you for others' sake. God looked at his perfect creation, Adam, and said, it is not good for him to be alone. This was not what I had in mind. It is not what God had in mind for you to do your Christian journey on your own. And so I want to encourage you today. There are gifts and talents that God has placed in you. Some of you are thinking, PK, you have no idea. I can't do anything. I don't know how to do anything. I don't have any spiritual gifts. I don't have any talents. I'm struggling to get out of bed sometimes. How many of you feel that way? Just me sometimes. There is more in you than you realize. If God created you, he created you with gifts. He created you with stuff on your life. Don't violate your intended design by being isolated. Can I get a resounding amen? That's the reason why God made you uniquely you, is because you were meant to fit somewhere with some other people. There is a reason why the Bible doesn't call you a body part. The Bible calls you a part of a body. There is a reason why the Bible doesn't call you a body part. It calls you a part of the body. The book of Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12 actually describes us. Those two chapters describe us as such. It says here, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, say many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. He said, this is the way we roll as Christians. You are not a body part. You are part of a body. And so, you know, I want to encourage you today to begin to think of 2021 to be the year where you make yourself part of the body. That you are a person that is connected to others that share your faith. Now, let's make it theologically clear here. You are actually called to reach those that are far from God, but you were designed to do life with those that share your faith. Catch that? You need to reach those that are far from God, but you were designed to do life with those that share your faith. Jesus sat down and had lunches with prostitutes and publicans and tax collectors, but he walked every day with his disciples. You follow me so far? Your mission, your mandate is to reach those that are far from God, but your design is to be part of a body, not a body part. I need a resounding amen. Amen. And this was the pattern of the early church. And for that to function well, God actually created you with gifts and talents. Romans chapter 12, you know, that's the, and 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about that whole you are part of a body thing. Goes on to list all of these different gifts, the exhortation, which is encouragement and giving and mercy and leadership and prophecy and serving and teaching. And Romans 1 Corinthians 12 talks about word of knowledge and word of discernment and word of wisdom and healing and word of prophecy and all of those sorts of things. And so you, full of your quirks and all the oddities, just like me and all my little weirdness, we have all these gifts and talents that we withhold from others if we decide that we don't want to connect with each other. Makes sense to you, right? And so the same chapters of Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 that talk about the body also talk about what's on your life for others. You were not created for your sake. You were created for others' sake. Do you know that there is so much unfulfilled potential in our lives that will never be fulfilled if we are to remain disconnected from others? Imagine, for those of you that are car people, I'm not, but this is a good analogy. But imagine a beautiful, shiny, brand new tire on a beautiful, low-profile, 19-inch mag wheel just sitting in your garage. It's nice to look at, but that wheel is meant to be on a sports car with three other wheels like it. Come on. Hello. Are you out there? And that car is meant to be taking you on some windy road down the cliff edges of Europe somewhere. Come on. Are you out there? Hello. You know what I'm talking about? That is its potential fulfilled. For as long as it remains disconnected or not attached to a car, it will forever be potential unfulfilled. Yeah. And you might be sitting here today and you might just be an incredible person, but the world probably has not seen the best of you because you've decided, I don't want to use what's on my life for the benefit of others. And the only way you can do that is to decide, I'm willing to connect with Ty, and what's on my life will bless him, and what's on his life will bless me. Come on, are you out there? I'm willing to connect with Louisa because what's on her life will bless me, and what's on my life will bless her. I'm willing to connect with Roland because I want to be known by him and know him. Yeah. It was the way that God intended for us to be. And I want to encourage you today that God designed it in the early church to gather big, gather small. Thousands gathered, and it was daily. Imagine having church services every day. Now y'all start complaining. Church services every day, and then they had connect groups every day. Church services, connect groups, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, inhaling, exhaling. Gather big, gather small. Now, if you're watching online, I know that you know you're maybe under different sort of restrictions. I want to encourage you. We've got Zoom Connects, and our heart is to start Zoom Connects across the world in different time zones, so you can be a part of that in this season where it's so uncertain. I want to encourage you: don't do your Christianity in isolation. Come on, can we just agree with that today? Don't do it in isolation. We love you. We want to see your face on that screen. Our online campus pastor, Pastor Christian, wants to see you on that screen. We can pray for you. We can encourage you. We can cover you up. If there's enough of you in a certain time zone, we will start that connect group. And one day you will be able to gather again. And who knows, one day we might have a Nations Church where you are. We love you. And you do this. Don't do it in isolation. You do this with us as well. But for those of you that are watching online and you can come to a physical Nations Church location, please come out of hiding. We love you. Come back. Come back into gathering. We want to see you. We want to do life with you. And you know, God's best is with you in fellowship. And you know, as I begin to read of how the early church grew so rapidly, and the gospel actually accelerated when they gathered big, gathered small, gathered big, gathered small. Persecution came. Herod Agrippa just came, and right up unto Nero's time, that rained all this terror on Christians. The church grew multiple times over just by gathering big, gathering small. There is an inherent strength that comes when people understand that we ought to gather big, but also gather small. Come on. It's not just loving God, but we ought to love each other as well. So in 2021, if you want your faith to be accelerated, to be strengthened, gather big
and gather small. I generally believe that our greatest threat in our day, in our society today, is not that the authorities will come and take us out of our churches and feed us to lions or behead us. I generally believe that a believer's greatest threat today is a weak faith brought about by choosing isolation. That I genuinely believe that when we choose isolation. You know, there are seasons in my life where I have chosen isolation and I've seen its disrepair and its dysfunction that is caused on the inside of me. I think the world now tries to normalize isolation, doesn't it? It tries to tell you that it's actually very normal to be completely isolated and not have any human relationships. I don't know, some of you in the room are actually old enough to remember the time where you would go, if you needed groceries for the day or for the next couple of days, you would go to your corner store and you would buy all your groceries, all your fruit, vegetables, and all that sort of stuff, and you would chat to the owner of the corner store, who would probably know your name, know your spouse's name, know your kids. Hello? Yeah. Today, if you wanted to do your groceries, you would drive in your car, pull up to some mega supermarket, get your trolley, get the bags out of your boot. I always forget. Who always forgets? I've got like 6 bedrooms full of plastic bags now because I keep buying the 15-cent things. That's a whole other rant altogether. Put it in your trolley. You could spend an hour at a mega supermarket, get to the self-checkout line, or you're checking your phone for your list, scan them one at a time. Bing, bing, bing. This item is not recognized. What? Excuse me. That's the only time you talk to someone. It's when that thing goes all crazy. Put it back in your trolley and walk out and not say a single word to a single person. The world is normalized isolation. It's told you that it's completely okay and normal for you to not utter a single word to another human being all day. That is not, God looks at that and says, that is not good. Come on, are you out there? Yeah. God looks at that and says, that is not good. There are perils to isolation. The Bible says this. The writer of Proverbs says this. Very wise man writes this. He says this. Proverbs 18 verse 1. Put it up on the screen. It says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Wow. What does that mean? It means that isolated people can be a little crazy. Usually end up doing weird things like post strange things on Facebook and stuff. You know what I mean? Because when you're isolated, you're not calibrated. Do you understand what that is? Yeah. We have a saying in our house, Chrissy and I, and please, Lord, forgive us because there are times when we do weaponize it against each other. But we do say this. Chrissy and I often say this. You can't smell your own smell. We say that when we identify something about the other person that isn't great, but the other person can't recognize it. And we say, well, you know, you can't smell your own smell. And we can't help each other with that. And we have that saying in our family. What does it mean? It means that we can't see our own blind spots. Community is the only way where that's reflected back to you. And sometimes we just want to hang around people that don't challenge us, that don't stretch us, that don't help us to grow. I think the reason for that is because we like to hang out with people that are good to us. We don't always like to hang out with people that are good for us. And small community connect groups are hard because they're full of different people. They're diverse. It's all, you know, you could end up with people that are of different walks of life. And our desire, we all like the easy road of having homogenous friends. You know what that means? It means that it's people that look just like us in our certain age bracket, certain education kind of levels, think at our level, earn kind of in the similar sort of bracket, same skin color, same accent, come from, you know, the similar sort of part of town. We like that kind of homogeneity. That's not a connect group, that's a clique. But the way God designed for it to be, and we see this in all of Paul's writings to the Corinthian church, the Ephesian church, to the Colossian church. They had to deal with all the funny, quirky messes of all these different cultures that have got saved, all these different nationalities and languages that have got saved, all these different customs and beliefs, and they all made it work because that was God's intended design. this year in 2021 decide that I'm going to enrich someone else's life and I'm going to allow someone else to enrich my life by being in the same room doing life with people that are very different to me, but I've got something to learn from them and I've got something to teach them too. I need a resounding amen. Amen. And I'm not going to allow my life to remain uncalibrated. I'm not going to allow my life to have blind spots that I can't see. I'm no longer going to allow my life to remain unchallenged. And so today I want to encourage you, you know, your life gets bigger by connecting with others that are actually different to you. My life is so rich because I get to meet people from every different walk of life. Every different, it's going to be good for you to actually have friends that have differing abilities to you.
Yes,
try having a good friend that has special needs. That'll bless your life. Come on. Try having a good friend that who's your first language is not their first language. It'll enrich your life.
Yeah.
You guys are getting real quiet. You're not convinced of this.
Love it.
Try having some good friends in your world that don't come from your culture.
Yeah.
You are, after all, part of Nations Church. Try doing life with people that maybe are in a different spectrum to your faith. You might be a Christian for like the last 40 years. Try hanging out with people that just got saved. Do life with them. Open up your heart. You never know just how enriched your life can be. And my prayer for us this year, and what you hear today, you were made to gather big and gather small. You were made to know and be known. You were designed to use your gifts. You were made to do life with others in the community of faith. You were not designed to be in isolation. Was that helpful to you guys? Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.